Welcome to the sixth episode of All Things Crypto, an Elk Finance podcast. I'm Shiloh, also known as LT Snake Plissken.
And I am Fareed.
So today we're going to talk all about elk. I know, we're talking about elk on the Elk Finance podcast. It's a revolutionary idea. But we wanted to talk about why we're legitimately excited and kind of talk a lot about our bigger picture ideas and what elk is and what really people might want to be excited about.
I am very excited about this episode, Shiloh.
It's going to be great. I can't wait. Yeah.
Please keep in mind, we are not financial advisors, and this is not financial advice. If you're looking for financial advice, please find a licensed advisor in your area.
So as always, our mission here is to provide resources to people who are interested in crypto, right? And these resources happen to be related to elk. And I don't want to come across like we're selling something here and we're pushing it. It's just kind of legitimate excitement and just kind of talk a little bit more about the project. So today we're going to really just talk about how elk works and why you should care.
If you get something wrong, please let us know. We welcome any feedback, any comments or suggestions or questions from you guys. And this is an opportunity for us to learn and make this podcast more interesting for everybody who's out there who's listening to this.
Yeah, so feel free to share that with us on Telegram. You can find the Elk Finance chat at t.me/elk_finance_chat. Now, with that out of the way, a lot of this material, as usual, has come from Roland Rude, our lead writer, so eloquently wrote this article we're drawing from, which I will link in the description of the podcast. So please, you know, follow along or give that a read or pause it now, go through it, and then you can listen to us jabber on about it if you'd like.
I really enjoyed reading his material. As always, very accurate, and he is a natural writer, actually. It's like reading a story.
I know. This one got me really excited, especially because, you know, some of these things have been floating around, even in the team chat. And, you know, as I've come to understand more and more of it, I got quite a bit more excited.
Absolutely. Let's just start with this question. You know, this is a question I was just thinking about it since I joined Elk. What is Elk about? Isn't Elk just about being another bridge project?
Well, that's the thing. I kind of get that question all the time, right? Isn't it just a bridge? Well, the difference with ElkNet, and that is that protocol that allows us to take Elk from any one of the chains we're on, six right now at the time of recording, probably more if you're listening to this in the future. And you know, we're on AVAX, Polygon, Phantom, HECO, BSC, XDAI. And what ElkNet does is takes Elk from one chain and it destroys it on one chain, also called burning, which we talked a little bit about in a previous episode. Mm-hmm. And then it mints it, as in creates Elk, on the chain you're going to, that same amount. Now it's 1-to-1. So I could go from AVAX to Polygon, for example, Avalanche to Polygon, and it would then burn the elk on AVAX where I'm coming from, and it would create the elk on, you know, Polygon the same amount. And there can never be more than 42 million or so tokens. So it's always maintained. And so that's what ElkNet does. You can buy elk, you send the value across the chain, right? You send the amount of elk that you own across the chain. And then ideally, if you want, you can convert the elk into something else and go about with your day, right? So it already doesn't operate like a traditional bridge.
You know what? I should mention this. For people who are on ElkNet, it's just amazing to me, Shaila, how easy it is to convert from one token to the other token. Yeah. With the push of a button, rather than going through a lot of steps to do that.
Yeah.
And it happens so fast.
Yeah.
That just blows my mind.
Yeah, like a lot of them are done in 7 seconds. But keep in mind, at the time of recording, we're in beta, right? So glitches happen and we're trying to like tackle those as soon as they can. And it's usually the RPC's fault. And no elk has ever been actually lost across chains. Nobody has ever lost their elk. It's all come through, which is amazing.
Oh, you know what? It's going to be funny. 10 years down the road, somebody listening to this podcast and it's just like 7 seconds.
Yeah, 7 seconds. Yeah.
Are you kidding?
That's right. That's right.
That's fast.
Yeah, that's right. But the cool thing about elk is we can basically deploy on any other chain quite easily. And you're probably talking about like, you know, hurry up and deploy on all the chains. What are you doing? You know, we do have to wait for the market and wait for the right time. And we've got people who plan those things, right? So we're not going to just jump into the fire.
So for those people who are looking at elk as an investment vehicle, the scalability is something which is very unique to the elk right now.
Yeah. And the cool thing is the chains I mentioned that we're currently on at the time of recording are all what are called EVM chains. And all you need to know about EVM, which stands for Ethereum Virtual Machine, means that they're basically clones, not direct clones, there's some changes, but they're almost different versions of Ethereum that are deployed and renamed with some changes. So any project, chain that you can connect to with MetaMask is actually an EVM chain at the time of recording.
Mm-hmm.
So MetaMask is compatible with Ethereum-like chains. You know, when you go to chainlist.org or you manually put in your RPC data and it connects to that new network, that means when you're doing that with MetaMask, that it's an Ethereum kind of clone in a way, or it's based on the same technology with some changes.
This is amazing, you know, because this means that we are not going to go after in elk about reinvention of the wheel.
Right.
The compatibility makes it easier to deploy it on other chains.
Right. And so the thing about elk that's really awesome is we can actually even deploy on non-EVM chains.
Mm-hmm.
So chains that MetaMask isn't even compatible with, for example. Some great examples, if you look at the market right now, you've probably seen Solana.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I imagine, you know, I'm not sure how Cardano is going to work, and I'm not sure if that's EVM. You know, it opens up all of these options for these other non-EVM chains that we can just deploy on.
That is fascinating.
Yeah,
but enough about the bridge. What else is out there regarding elk?
Yeah, so and I wouldn't even say that ElkNet is a bridge, right? It's a transfer of value. I mean, I guess it is a bridge for your value, right? I guess in that sense. But what else is it about? Well, you may have heard some rumblings, and we talked about this a lot in our previous episode, along with other in stablecoins in episode 5, we talked about CHFT, CHFT, which is a stablecoin that's linked to the Swiss franc,
mm-hmm.
right? So the Swiss franc being, you know, the most stable fiat currency, real person money in the world, right? And so we're going to peg this token to the value of the Swiss franc, and it's going to have the same properties as elk.
Okay.
In some ways, in that it can go cross-chain using ElkNet.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you can move dollar for dollar the same this token across chains and move your value across chains with some real stability.
Mm-hmm.
So
something similar to USDT and exactly. Any other stablecoin.
Imagine, though, if it could be just taken across chains without, you know, creating these weird proxies or anything. It can be, you know, we went into this in more depth in the last episode, but it can be natively minted on any chain with mm-hmm. collateral. That's a big loaded sentence, but we're going to get into that a little later, so don't focus on that too much. The second thing that we're going to be about are proxy tokens for basically any project. So all I'm going to say for now, until we get into it later, is imagine any project using the elk mainnet or elk net, and being able to deploy a contract on BSC, your own smart contract, make your own token, right? You make your own token on one network, and being able to say, hey, ElkNet, I want to be on other chains. So allowing any user to, you know, create and move their tokens to other chains. Any chain that Elk is on. Huge. Ridiculous. Like, this is going to be amazing. Lastly, what, you know, that isn't bridge related is our data relay function. Mm-hmm. So this isn't here yet at the time of recording. But imagine being able to quickly reference any information from any blockchain that Elk is on, right? So this isn't just prices. This is anything. And being able to very quickly have this value, this information relayed across different blockchains.
Mm-hmm.
So these are those three main things that really don't necessarily make it a regular bridge project. It's far from it. We're not looking just at the individual user, although you can use it and move Elk across chains. Go try it yourself if you'd like to see it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we're actually also targeting these big and medium, small projects who might want to transfer their value across chains, right? So that's I mean, I think all I'm going to say about that.
So what issues is Elk trying to solve?
Yeah,
using these vehicles, using these options we discuss here.
Yeah, and we talked a little bit about this in the last episode, and a big part of this is solving a couple key issues that traditional bridges have. And sure, and I just spent the last 10 minutes telling you that we're not a bridge. But
you sound like a politician.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah, we're not a bridge. But we do solve some of those problems. We're I guess I should say, yeah, sure, we're a bridge, but we're more, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't say all sports are hockey. Hockey is simply a sport,
mm-hmm.
right? So, you know, Elk isn't just, you know, one thing. We're not just a bridge. We're aiming to be something that encompasses all of decentralized finance.
So it's going to be a one massive ecosystem.
Huge ecosystem that's open source and with tools available for the single user or the biggest crypto project,
mm-hmm.
right? So bridge fragmentation is something we want to solve. And if you want more information on bridge fragmentation, we touched on it a little bit deeper in the last episode.
Okay.
About stablecoins. That's episode 4. But bridges basically, like the Avalanche Ethereum bridge, the AEB bridge, it's designed to take value from Ethereum and bring it to Avalanche, take specific tokens, wrap them, it freezes tokens on one, and let's say if you want to take Ethereum from the Ethereum network and deploy it on Avalanche, it freezes that Ethereum in a contract on Ethereum, and then creates it on the Avalanche side, so then you can go and do whatever with it.
Mm-hmm.
But like we mentioned in the last episode, it creates a problem because it basically any project, like let's say you also have an Avalanche bridge from Binance,
mm-hmm.
So then you need an ABB bridge, an Avalanche Binance bridge, you know. So then you've got a different token that's coming from the Binance, from let's say you take Ethereum from Binance and you bring it over to Avalanche, and then you take Ethereum from Ethereum and bring it over to Avalanche. You've actually got two different Ethereums.
That's right.
Yeah. And sure, you can say, hey, this is the value they're worth. And we can know that through mm-hmm. things like Chainlink would be those price oracles that send that message to Avalanche that say, hey, this is how much Ethereum is worth. Sure, you can. But you've got two different Ethereums. And because different amounts are held by different people, they actually aren't going to have as much liquidity. Meaning your price impact's going to be really high if you sell one. You can't put them together to make the value equal. That so if you they're always different tokens. So if you sell back and forth on different decentralized exchanges, they're going to be different prices, if mm-hmm. that makes sense, right? So because it's not just one thing, you can't just pair it with every other token and say, okay, now you can trade these tokens and, you know, it's not a problem. Because you've effectively split the liquidity in half. And if you want more information on liquidity, check out our liquidity episode back in, I think it is our second episode. Go check that out if you want more information around that. So yeah, that can create an issue. And with Elk, that's not an issue because we are actually, you know, paired with every other token. And there's no proxy tokens of Elk. Elk is just Elk across every chain, even with the same contract address.
So everything somehow pegged to just the Elk token,
right,
in different chains.
Right.
And that's the way you're just basically,
yeah,
not dealing with multiple exchanges,
yeah,
and multiple exchange rates.
Yeah.
And as a result, you're going to have more or less the same value, doesn't matter where you are.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing about Elk is, yeah, sure, that you might see a few cents difference between one chain and the other. And you're like, oh, what about that? Well, the cool thing about that is it actually presents an opportunity for investors, something called arbitrage.
Okay.
So basically, imagine if Elk is $2.55 on Avalanche and it is $2.70 on Polygon, let's say. So what you could do is send 350 Elk from Avalanche, where it's worth 255, and you send it one for one. So you send, let's say, 300 Elk. You send it across chain, and you have now 300 Elk on Polygon. Now, since Polygon's worth $2.70 per Elk, you could sell it, send it to a traditional bridge or through an exchange, depending, trade for... If you do it through the exchange, trade for, you know, you sell it to, let's say, Matic, and you send the Matic to an exchange. Then you can trade that Matic for AVAX mm-hmm. on the exchange, and then withdraw from the exchange, sending it back to Avalanche, and then you could buy more Elk. And you could repeat that. And what happens when you do that? Since it's cheaper on Avalanche, when you've sold it for more, you buy more Elk. So this time, you come back and you have more Elk. And you could repeat the process, and many people will, until the prices even out.
That's right.
Right? Because when I sell on Polygon, the price is going to go down for Elk on Polygon. When I buy on Avalanche, the price is going to go up. So whether you do that through an exchange or a traditional bridge... the more you buy and sell from each side, the prices will even out and the people who invest benefit. Now, this is something to take advantage of now because who knows who's going to create a bot to do this at some point, right, to equalize the prices. It'll be great to have equalized prices, but right now is a good opportunity.
That's right. As time goes by, this return is going to diminish, you know, because people are going to do a lot of exchange. Yeah. And as a result, you're going to basically have these kind of a more balanced liquidity pools, which are going to keep the prices very comparable at different chains.
That's right. So that's, I mean, the long way of explaining bridge fragmentation and kind of an arbitrage, right? Mm-hmm. Which is great. The next piece here that Elk's going to solve is exit liquidity. So that's where, if you look at certain bridges, conventional bridges, for example, where you... basically, it holds your tokens on one side. Let's say you transfer USDC from, you know, Polygon to Avalanche, since I'm using those examples. So with conventional bridges, not like the AEB bridge, not like the Avalanche Ethereum bridge I was talking about before, but simple bridges that freeze have entry and exit liquidity. Mm-hmm. So I go to take, you know, $300 of USDC. It freezes on one side, on the AVAX side, and then it releases some that are already there, some USDC that's already there in equal amounts for a small fee on the Polygon side. Now, what's happened here is I've taken some of the exit liquidity on the Polygon side. So there's now $300 less on the other side and $300 more on the Avalanche side.
Mm-hmm.
If the chain gets popular and everybody rushes to it, which has happened several times, we've seen this, these projects can run out of exit liquidity. So only a certain amount of people can actually get to the chain that's really popular because, you know, everyone's going there and there's not enough, you know, not as many assets to give everybody what they send. So you're actually just unable to send,
mm-hmm.
which really gets in the way.
I would get mad if that happened to me. Yeah.
So with Elk, there's no exit liquidity problem because of the mint and burn.
That's right.
It's always going to be there. And the amounts are going to be encouraged to be equalized because of arbitrage.
Yes.
As well as the mint burn. There's no frozen, you know, liquid there.
This is a very big benefit, you know, because now you're just basically not getting into these massive fluctuations. And at the same time, you're not getting stuck in a situation that, you know, you're missing an opportunity.
Right.
This is a really big deal.
Yeah, it's huge. And we could, you know, get to a point, we can look at ElkNet transfers overall, and we can determine which chains are popping, which chains are popular, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the more chains we launch on, we're only on 6 at the time of recording. Maybe you're listening to it now or on more. But it allows everyone to take their value instantly to where they want to go within decentralized finance and not having to provide their, you know, all their information.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. So a good feature here that we're also going to have is talking about, I mentioned before about our data relay function, right? So currently, I mentioned like Chainlink, you know, sends information across chains from one blockchain to another to reference prices and stuff. We're going to be introducing a data relay function with data that can reference not just prices, but other things across different blockchains. So that's going to be huge as well.
Mm-hmm.
So this is something that we're solving. And you can see that this data relay function isn't a bridge function. This is something else. Right, so we're going to be able to solve that, and as well as this proxy token issue,
mm-hmm.
and as well as this shift thing with this Swiss franc stablecoin, you know, we've got a stable transfer of value across chain.
I'm going to ask a stupid question.
No questions are stupid.
Shift or proxy token, which one do you prefer?
Which one do I prefer? Which thing do I think will win out? Well, the thing is, I don't think they're competing. I think both are going to be a necessary part of the ecosystem. So, all right, let's give a little bit of background here. Shift, right? That's our Swiss franc stablecoin again.
Mm-hmm.
So how's that going to work? Well, basically, people can mint or create Shift by locking certain tokens in a smart contract. So I could take, let's say, $300 of Ethereum, and I can lock it in a smart contract. And for as long as that's locked in the smart contract, it will create some Shift for me, mm-hmm. some Swiss franc stablecoin that I can then send across any chain and do whatever with it.
Okay.
It will create it on whatever chain that I'm on that Elk is currently on. Now, the thing is, Shift is going to be over-collateralized. Right. So meaning it's not going to be $300 USD worth of Ethereum.
It's not going to be one to one.
Right. There's going to be, depending on what you decide to use as collateral, it might cost me $310 worth of Ethereum to get $300 worth of Shift. I mean, you're not losing it. It's locked there, right? So you can go do whatever with your Shift and come back and convert your CHFT back into Ethereum,
mm-hmm.
whenever you want. And you get that whole 310 back minus, you know, possible gas fees or how that's going to work. But let's say I have Jimmy John's BSC shrimp token extravaganza.
Mm. Right? That sounds legit.
Yeah. So one of those were like really crappy coins, right? I'm sure it might have to be whitelisted, so but or allowed to be used as collateral for CHIFT, because we're obviously we can't take just anything, but assume that it somehow Jimmy John is, a very reputable member of our community, and he's got an audit, but it's still a risky project, right? And I want to take his shrimp token, and I want to use it as collateral for my CHFT, but the price has been really volatile. So, back if I was just taking Ethereum, locking it into a smart contract, it would be, let's say, that $10 fee, for example. These aren't, actual fees, but, saying it was $310 to get $300 of CHFT for Jimmy John Shrimp token. Maybe I might have to even provide double the value or triple the value of the token to get the equivalent to borrow the
Stablecoins, yeah,
CHFT. Yeah,
CHFT, yeah. Oh, okay.
because of the high risk of that token.
Okay, so it's just all about how much of how the collateralization works in the sense of a stablecoin, and if it is in your favor, if you're
Yeah.
if you want to trade it and send it over.
Yeah, exactly. And like, let's say if we used USDC as collateral, the fee would be negligible. There would be, or not fee, the amount difference would be like very negligible, because it's not going to fluctuate, right, in relation to CHFT. So there'll be a very small extra bit frozen to mint that CHFT. And the reason we're going to over collateralize, why you're going to need to freeze a little bit more of your assets in order to borrow some CHFT until you come back and you're done, is because if everyone withdraws all at once, we definitely want enough so that all those transactions can go through. So if we take a little, we freeze a little extra for someone, we can for everyone, we can ensure that if everyone withdrew, that we can support that. And it could happen that in the unlikely event, like everybody, left on one chain, well, I guess you just maybe have to go to a different chain to redeem your CHFT. So there's no loss of value, which is going to be really cool.
So this is one option for people who want to kind of sometimes cash out, stay on the sidelines,
Yeah.
and come back, and they are looking for some options such as CHIFT or any other stablecoin
Yeah.
to hold on to their values as they are waiting.
Right. And you could collateralize for CHFT, and you could kind of wait on it and use it as a you could just leave your stuff frozen forever if you wanted, and use that CHFT as long as you wanted it, and you could redeem it at any point coming back. So that's one thing. And the second piece here you mentioned, which will win out, is CHFT or proxy tokens. And I did the cop-out answer where I said, I think they're both a necessary part of the ecosystem. It's kind of like saying the treasure was friendship all along. But proxy tokens, right? So this is something I'm equally and in some ways more excited for than Shift, which will win out. I think they'll both be useful, but definitely most excited for the proxy tokens. Imagine, like I said, anybody being able to create any token and wrap that token using like our tools that we're going to release, also called an SDK, to take your token you've just created, wrap it, and send it across multiple chains, right? And there's not going to be, huge fees or anything like this, or deployment costs, because the technology exists. We're just using ElkNet to wrap these tokens and send them across chains, just like we will with CHFT, and just like we do with Elk. So you could mint your coin on BSC, and Jimmy John can mint his shrimp token, and he can send it, he can freeze some in a smart contract, send it across to different chains. He can send it to Polygon, AVAX, XDAI, eventually Ethereum, a bunch of other token or a bunch of other chains, and people can buy it on there. Now, I mentioned before about the data relay function. Now, what ElkNet will be able to do is reference the price of the token, and send information back and forth between the wrapped versions and the original version on BSC, and equalize the price. So it can share information among all the chains we're on so that it stays even.
That is fascinating, you know, because well said, Shiloh, you know, it's just like it's not one versus the other. It's about what you want to do.
Exactly.
And there is no contradiction, there is no
No.
overlap. They
No.
are designed to coexist for different purposes.
Exactly. So it's giving people an option of what they want to do. It's not just a bridge, right?
Yes.
It's a being able to do a bunch of things. But imagine any medium, large, small size project being easily just to take Elknet and boop, put their token on other chains. They deploy a smart contract on one chain, boop, it's on other chains. Now expand this a little bit, right? We look at non-EVM chains, non-Ethereum virtual machine chains. And you can technically then, when this exists, take your project and move it to places that aren't even compatible with Ethereum. And yeah, sure, you can go on Solana and you can find an Ethereum-linked token and you can do that. But it's for smaller, medium-sized projects, it's very hard to get there. But imagine being able to just go there when we launch on those chains. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to Elknet what the blockchain is that you're going to. It can send information back and forth. So you can have your project on any chain that we decide to launch on.
So the message to me after this conversation is Elk is not just a bridge. Is a one-stop shop.
Exactly.
You can do whatever you want with it. You can basically farm it, you can stake it, you can move your tokens around, you can do whatever you want.
Yeah, exactly.
This is something which is massive for people who are trying to get into crypto, and they are trying to be with I think with a chain which has so much potential.
Yeah, totally.
You mentioned something about fees, you know, because all of us, we hate fees.
Yeah, totally.
There are some rumors about Elknet and gas fees. What's that about?
So, I mean, I'm going to be a little cryptic or cryptoic, if you will. But imagine sending Elk across Elknet to different chains. Yes, even Ethereum. And imagine not having to pay the gas for that.
My mind is blown.
Wouldn't that be sweet?
That would be.
And wouldn't that be cool? I'm just dropping that here. Just saying. Hey, you know, those people listening in the future will know exactly what I'm talking about. But I want to leave it there with that. So yeah, I know we kind of threw a lot at everybody. So please check out Roland's article here linked in the description. You know, and this really I want to nail down that not are we any chain, anytime, anywhere. Not that we can just be on any chain. And to reiterate something we've said from the launch of the project, but imagine that you could not even have to be aware of what chain you're on. You could just go wherever and not have to worry about it.
Pretty well said. I think that was a message from this episode.
And like imagine your own project that you've launched through Elk. Imagining that, not even having to worry about how to get to other chains. You just launch your project on one chain and you can be on as many chains as Elk is on at that time.
That is fascinating.
Yeah. So look, talk about reaching a bunch of other markets, right? You can just deploy, move
Absolutely.
your value around, your token around.
I hope our listeners, they enjoyed this talk as much as we did. And thank you again for being with us in this episode, and we will see you in the next episode.
All right, we'll see you soon, and we'd love to hear your feedback. So let us know. You can contact me directly, LT Snake Plissken, at our Telegram channel at t.me/elk_finance_chat. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you guys next time.